Hi, I'm Susan Clark.
And I'm Chris Marie Campbell.
Welcome to the Beauty of Conflict podcast. Have you ever wanted to take some of what you've learned on the podcast to the next level? Well, check out our new step-by-step, easy-to-use team kit to get your team from avoiding conflict to discovering the beauty in conflict.
To learn more, go to www.thriveinc.com/team-kit. That's www.thriveinc.com/TEAMKIT.
Well, welcome. Today we have a very special guest, Dominic Dom. Do you say it Brightman?
Yes, ma'am. You got it right.
Okay. DTM is a certified leadership trainer with the John Maxwell team, author and host of the Going North podcast, a podcast committed to featuring authors from around the world to promote the power of the written word and inspire listeners to publish books of their own. Love that. His mantra is advance others to advance yourself. Welcome, Dom.
Woohoo! Thank you, Chris Marie. This is going to be fun and all the buns. The beauty of stilettos. I mean, conflict.
So tell me, we'll get to your podcast, but you're, you know, a certified leadership development trainer. So what is your work world around? What are you doing these days, especially kind of not past COVID since we're still in the next iteration of, because you hail from Baltimore, Maryland. So tell me, tell our listeners a little bit about you.
Sure thing. And like I said, I'm on a land of charm, crime and crab cakes, Baltimore, Maryland. So crime may be high, but hey, the crab cakes are still high too. You know, look at crab meat and hey, the charm is still at an all-time high rate as well. Don't worry, no weed involved. And as for me, myself, I'm actually, funny enough, quiet kid that found his confidence. It's actually because I grew up shy and now I'm considering myself an ambivert because I've been mostly an introvert my whole life. But thanks to reading books from John Maxwell and countless other wonderful authors, I've actually allowed myself to really hone in on my gift of my voice and basically inspiring others to create their own piece of immortality, even helping others get to their next level in life and even just even getting even better and feeling just good on the daily, because sometimes we just need a word of encouragement. And through the words of encouragement, whether it's through the ones that came to my ears or the ones that went through my eyes through the books, it's really helped me to be to where I am today. So that's kind of a little bit about me and how I kind of got to where I was, just reading some magical books and that, even dealing with some conflict with the wonderful birthday gift when I turned 21, known as a car accident too.
Oh, so wow. Go figure. Well, what happened? That sounds like kind of a key inflection point in your journey.
Oh, yeah, you could say that again. It was probably a whole key ring of like multiple keys, because that was kind of like the meat in the middle of a 2012 setback sandwich, where a month before my birthday, my father went out for a regular drive and he got lost for a good 36 hours in a small town, I believe Silver Spring, Maryland, about a good 50 minutes outside of Baltimore, and we discovered that he had Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow.
And I was a full-time, yeah, it was very devastating when we found that out, because at the time I was working part-time at the library at the time and even had a full-time college student. And then even a month after the car accident, I still had some parts of me that was broken, because I came out unscathed physically, had no injuries or anything, just basically blocked traffic for 2 hours, and police had to do some paperwork, of course, since traffic was being blocked for 2 hours and there was an accident, and got called into the office of my boss, and she listed all these things where I was screwing up at, and it helped me to realize that, hey, your home life will seep into your work life, and your work life will seep into your home life, whether you like it or not. It's going to be in subtle ways, whether you want to try to protect both as separate entities, but at the same time, when you're living one life and you have multiple activities, they're going to bleed into each other. So they all bled into each other, and it led me to finding my own metaphorical acres of diamonds, because even though I worked for the library at the time, about a good 5 years up to that point, I never really read that many books outside of it, because I was focusing mostly on textbooks and reading entrepreneurship, leadership, psychology, self-help books, transformed my life to realize, oh, I get to choose what to read now. I don't have to always read the boring stuff that makes me want to put a dunce cap on and eat a pack of brownies.
Wow. That's powerful that, you know, well, one, just the story about your father. So it sounds like your dad got lost, and he wasn't that old, was he, for Alzheimer's? It's not like, how old was he at that time?
Believe it or not. It's all good. Yeah, he actually passed away. Wow, my God. Wow, almost 5 years now for the day of this recording. Wow. It was actually, he was actually in his early 80s at the time when it happened. Okay. I came around really late.
Okay. Well, that's helpful. I was thinking, oh my, early onset Alzheimer's, but still very discombobulating to recognize somebody that you know and love doesn't know where they are. And you had a separate car accident at the same time. Is that true? Like that happened with your dad and you had a car accident.
Yep. A month after. So yeah. 90 days of setbacks. Gotta love it.
Yeah. And I appreciate what you're saying, though. It's, you know, so many people think that they can compartmentalize their worlds and manage that. And Susan and I are both big believers that, you know, business, it's not like, what's that Godfather? It's business, not personal. But you know what? We are human beings doing business. So we are bringing ourselves and it's impacting how we're showing up. And that's taking care of the whole person is so powerful. And I'm sure with your, you know, reading John Maxwell and all those, you know, it's really about how can I take care of myself to show up fully, no matter where I am.
Oh, yeah, definitely can say that again.
I can't believe it. It's really neat that you had working in a library, weren't reading, you know, managing school, which I totally get. When I'm in school, it's kind of like, no other reading is happening. But the power of books to really propel you to make substantial life changes, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, definitely substantial life change. Because the thing is, a lot of people still think the libraries in the 1980s and 70s with the card catalogs, when at the end of the day, public libraries are community centers to help people really get through their days or even advance in life. Because, heck, even during the pandemic, a couple of the libraries, especially one out in the Baltimore area, a few of them were drop-off points for kids who couldn't get meals during the pandemic, because a lot of kids in certain neighborhoods, the only meals they would get would be during lunchtime. They wouldn't get them at home. And on top of that, they were offering technology for customers as well with Chromebooks and extending the Wi-Fi to parking lots and even offering hotspots for folks to check out so that way they would have internet access, because the pandemic helped folks to realize, hey, high-speed internet is now a necessity, especially if you're going to connect on these Zoom calls and doing everything else.
That's true. I love that you're saying that, you know, because libraries can seem like, well, why do we need those? We could just Google everything. And I love that you're saying they're community centers and places for people to gather and get support, like you know, the kids getting their meals. And before moving to Montana, I lived in Seattle, and this was probably a decade or more ago, but some wealthy person gave some endowment to the city of Seattle, because libraries popped up in all these, and I'm like, why are they building libraries right now? But you really give me a positive reframe for people to come together, especially people that don't have resources or don't even have resources. Maybe it's even just emotional support or feeling connected, and they can, you know, either dive into books or, you know, the librarian who's friendly or just people around, having a safe place to connect to people and also develop. That's lovely. Well, from your reading, Dom, what actually, you know, can you say what was some of the big pieces of wisdom that you really went, whoa, I got to do something different, or whoa, I can do something different?
Oh, wow. Like, man, so I know this is usually a 30 to 35 minute show. Like, do we have 3 hours or 10 hours, maybe? Just be your next 30 episodes for the year. Like, it's Dom again.
Well, I know you've got a lot of volume because you were reading a lot of books, but even like your top three pieces of like really changing, like what really struck you, because it may actually help a listener that's out there.
I love the fact that you said listener, because funny enough, like listening was something that was reinforced as one of the big takeaways, because back even working in customer service, you realize that, hey, sometimes you may feel like a bartender, especially when folks, you think they're coming for one thing, but they just wanted a listening ear and they give you their whole life story for like a good 10 minutes. It's like, wow, I thought you just wanted Spanish books for your kid, but it's actually just you venting, and then they just leave more happier afterwards. And that happened with my life, and that was one of the major keys I've got from my reading, is that everyone is facing a hard battle that may be invisible to others, and we have to make sure we have that empathy for others and having at least that compassion, that base level compassion for our fellow humans, and still care for other people. That's another reason why one of my life mantras is advance others to advance yourself, because in this lifetime, like, I wouldn't be having this wonderful conversation and sharing this time with you, Chris, if I didn't really invest in what people invested time in me, whether it's just them giving me wisdom, putting out great content for me to devour and find later, and heck, even today, where it's like, even though I'm still taking in content, still giving out content and helping other folks advance, whether that's just feeling better or writing their first book or starting their own business. And those are just two ones that stick out, just having a listening ear and also focusing on advancing others by also being a great networker, by being a magnet as opposed to being a pusher. Because I'm pretty sure both you and Susan especially have became wonderful, huge magnets for people after you started this wonderful podcast.
Oh, I love that. Well, you know, one of the things I think is really powerful in that, just taking your first point about listening, it's so much of what we can do in our lives and even in our close relationships is they can become transactional. Like, did you take care of the kids, or what's, you know, what are we having for dinner? Who did the laundry? That's at home. And we don't actually pause, because most of us, I love what you said, we all have these invisible struggles that, you know, may not be apparent to you, but it's going on inside of me. And it's so powerful just to have somebody listen, not try to solve it, not try to improve me, but just create a space for me to feel heard. And that is so healing, because I think there's a sense of like being, when I'm reflected back, it's like, I don't know, it's like I feel more whole. What's in here gets out here, and another, I'm connecting to another human being. And that empathy that you're saying is so, so powerful. So like people in customer service, you get it. I love that. I thought you wanted this. And now we've spent 10 minutes hearing about your world. So that's really powerful. And advancing others. So talk to our listeners about how you advance others with your podcast, because you have the Going North podcast, right? Going North podcast. Say more about your, how long you've been there, you know, the different authors you've had.
Sure thing. So the podcast itself started off back in 2017. It was actually about a good 6 months, I believe, finally, after sadly losing my father, because the thing was, I originally published a book called Going North in October 2016. Then father had a bad accident at Christmas that same year, and then he passed away that March, and I kind of was grieving at the time, and I wasn't listening to myself. And heck, even another reason why listening was one of the early points I brought up, because those who are high performers, heck, this even can tie in with conflict itself, because sometimes conflict arises because we don't listen to ourselves and our bodies and our inner beings before we go out into the world, because you have to take care of yourself before you take care of the world. And you have to give yourself the gift of solitude before you can masterfully serve the multitude. And I wasn't even giving myself that true amount of solitude. And when I found out, like, oh, maybe I should get back to marketing that book I got, I realized, you know what? Maybe I should make this more about helping other people as opposed to me just rambling in a microphone every week. It's like, hey, it could be entertaining for maybe a couple minutes, but hey, I get to learn from other people and the types of people I've brought on. It's diverse, a little bit of a motley crew, because I've had New York Times best-selling authors who've had TEDx talks with millions of views, all the way to regular everyday Joe Schmoes, like one guy I had on Christmas Day last year, Lonnie Lassane. He's in his 50s, a grandfather, and a retired truck driver, but he discovered his reading gift when he was in middle school, but he didn't manifest it till he was in his early 50s. So having his passions being brought out later in life and just bringing out those stories of those who are at the top of their game and those who are closer towards the beginning, where they're fully passionate, and just bridging them together to realize that, hey, success is tangible no matter where you are at your stage of life. Because the youngest guest I've had on was 17, and the oldest, to my knowledge, is about a good 77. So it's really just bringing all these different ideas and these different wonderful folks together to help folks realize, hey, no matter where you come from, success can be tangible for you. And that's kind of like the beauty of really having a patchwork quilt of talent.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I love what you were saying, your first point about solitude, like that inner conflict. We do talk about that because, again, we tend to think of ourselves as machines. I've got to actually produce this, go do that, work out, shop. And taking the time to meditate, connect in, and actually recognize what I'm feeling and settling in, then it's like I tap into my own GPS and can make much better decisions versus, oh my God, I've got to flip myself inside out in order to please everybody else, which certainly was my journey.
It could be quicksand, can't it?
Yes, exactly. And I don't think, you know, I don't think we're taught, I wasn't taught to listen inward at all and to find what is truly in my heart and how to bring my gifts forward. It was always, I just started out, how do I serve? How do I survive? How do I make money? All those things. And I think it is a cultivation. And if people can discover it earlier, oh, wow, wouldn't that be good? But we don't have kind of, I think your, you know, how you found the books was a path for you, it sounds like, for you to kind of start to cultivate that inner connection so that you could serve. What is it? I liked your little phrase, connect to solitude. How did you say it? So the multitude, you used a phrase. What was that?
Oh, yeah. One of my favorites. Give yourself the gift of solitude so you can masterfully serve the multitude.
I love that. I love that. So, okay. So now you've given me a couple of pieces. You talked about the podcast. I'd still love another piece of wisdom that you learned that really helped transform your life and really shift the direction. So you did kind of the listening from within and helping others and not making it all about you, but really wanting to support other people. What's another piece of wisdom from your journey that may help our listeners?
Another piece of wisdom, definitely enlist others in your journey of advancement. And by that, I mean hiring a coach if you need a coach, if you don't have a coach, because the greatest coaches have coaches. No matter how good you are, you can always be better. Like, that's another reason why a lot of folks usually brought into companies to help encourage and give their team tools and equip them to be the best staff members that they can be, because at the end of the day, we're better together, and we want to, at the end of the day, we want to be better and not butter. So really, hiring a coach, especially back, yeah, I don't know how to get you, because it's like, yeah, you don't want to be in the cake. You want to be outside of the cake. You don't want to be the butter.
Oh, well, I certainly agree that one of the things, I was not an athlete in high school, but when I went to the University of Washington, and I'm short, but I wanted to row, which is on the crew team. And the only way I made that happen is I asked for help. I asked the coach for help, the assistant coach, tell me what to do. How do I do this? And a lot of times, you know, we don't know what we don't know. So we're kind of narcissistic and think, hey, I figured it out. This is, you know, this is how I put the world together. And we're like the emperor without any clothes on, with our big bottom hanging out, you know, not aware of our blind spots, not sure how to do things. And a lot of times I think people don't even know, well, what would I use a coach for? Or how's that going to help me? And I'm assuming you have our coach and use coaches. So how have you helped people who are kind of in their busy world recognize that coaching would be supportive for them?
Yes. One guy in particular, he actually asked me to be basically his podcast coach, because he's wanted to do a podcast, because the thing about podcasting is, hey, you guest on a few, and it's like, you know what? I think I want to start one of my own, because it looks so darn easy and fun. Let me try it. And then some folks, if they start, they get into the groove of things a little bit later and realize, oh, I'm going to need some help with this. I need like an editing team and a marketing team and folks to create the wonderful content, marketing materials. And one guy in particular, he was actually stuck at one point where he said he wanted to start a show and he was having trouble. It took about, I'd say about a couple months. And I just asked him, like, hey, why do you really want to start a show, and where you want the direction of the show to go to? And one of the major things that helped him to get over that hump was that I basically introduced him to some folks from my network that would fit with his theme, because his theme for the opening season was Summer Soldiers, because it was coming off of the whole George Floyd situation, and he wanted to encourage young black men with tools to really get to their next level in life. So in addition to just asking the right questions and listening. Also, since he was a good dude and I trusted him, I introduced him to some folks to help him get started. And that's the other thing, too, of having your own ecosystem, because that's another thing about coaches, having coaches and wonderful folks in their network, is that you have your own ecosystem of awesomeness. Like, what is in, like, who is in your ecosystem of awesomeness? Because you're going to need multiple folks. Of course, if you know a plumber, that's amazing, because it can be hard needing a plumber or an electrician, the basic things. Like, hey, do you know a photographer? Do you know folks could do other things besides just the focusing on the mental game, the leadership game, and just having wonderful folks in your ecosystem of awesomeness to connect with other folks in your network? And after connecting in with those wonderful folks, after asking them questions and listening in and realizing that he was holding himself back, enlisting others in his advancement helped him to launch, and he's still going today, 70 plus episodes in. So that's really the benefit of coaching, having that right person to ask you the right questions, who will also listen to your responses, and then helping you draw to your own conclusions, and even helping you reach even further than you would before, and having quantum leaps as opposed to just snail crawls.
Yeah, I think that's great. I do agree that one, it's almost like you don't know until you need to kind of like, who is in my network? You tend to think, oh, I don't know. But we actually, it's at 6 degrees of separation. Like, you have a lot more people than you think, and people that would help other people. Like, the combination is quite powerful. And I do think it's the fastest way to accelerate your own growth and learning and connections is to be willing to ask for help and reach out and develop. That's great. So listening, empathy, advancing others, getting help in a network, well, asking help like from a coach, and even developing your own ecosystem. Anything else that you would say are your tools for success for our listeners and for you that you want to share today?
Yeah, I guess Bob the Builder has to step out the way. We're building some great success stories here, huh? That's right. Bob the Builder, can we advance? Yes, we can. Another tool. I'd have to say another one would definitely be asking yourself questions. One thing I like to do every day is asking myself at least a good 5 questions a day. I call this the PAR method. So P-A-R, preparation, action, and reflection. A good day starts the night before, and what I usually like to ask myself the night before is, what good will I do today? Focusing on doing something good for somebody else and doing something good for myself as well, because hey, self-care is a required activity. Self-care is required. It's not just getting a mani-pedi. Now granted, I'm a guy, I'm not much of a mani-pedi fan. I cut my own toenails because I don't like ingrown toenails, and I don't want to get in a kickboxing mode and then have my own hands bleed. So, but if that's your type of thing, go on ahead.
Yeah. Well, massage is unisex, right?
Oh yeah, those are unisex. Yeah, get those all the time if you need them. Yeah, definitely. Get as many as you need.
But I do agree, self-care, putting on your own oxygen mask first so you can actually help others is key. So I love that. Okay, prep.
Oh yeah, prep. So what good will I do today? And also, what can I share? Can I share a smile with someone else? I know that's kind of hard face-to-face in this whole, wear your whole luchador, not luchador mask nowadays, right, with this evil pandemic. But heck, even sharing a contact with somebody, or even sharing some time. Heck, even with the customer service example earlier, with the customer who came in who actually just needed a listening ear. Sometimes folks may need listening ears, and they may be going through things. And if you have the time, make sure you make that time for someone else. And then the action phase, when you get into there, the third question, what must I do? Is there someone I need to call? Is there an email I need to respond to? Is there someone I need to pitch to speak at their next event? Is there a proposal that I need to finish? Like, what must I do? In a way, what Brian Tracy says, eating that frog. The most hardest thing, trying to get that done as early as you can will definitely make it a lot better. Or even sometimes for me, if it's giving a presentation later that day, that's usually the highlight of my evening, because sometimes, especially when I was heavier into Toastmasters, that was my biggest task for the day, giving a great speech that I prepared for. And that actually led me to being excited all day long. And when I finally delivered, it was great. And then reflection, when your day is over, asking yourself, what good did I do today? And that can even just recommending a new tip for folks. I know we have gratitude journals out there, but there's also another way you can look at it as a victory log, logging your victories. Like having this conversation with you, Chris Marie, that's a big win for me. And I'm sure Susan's going to have a big win in a few weeks. I'm not sure when this is going live, but with her new book coming out in January, that's going to be a big win for her when that comes out, especially when me and thousands, if not millions of other people, buy that wonderful book. Just counting victories, heck, even getting through Baltimore traffic is a victory, especially after the pandemic, because people are so antsy. And you have to pause before when the light changes because people will still be driving thinking it's a yellow light. So making it safe there. And the fifth and final question, what did I learn today? Just tracking, what did you learn today? Because you can learn something new every day, whether that's knowing that your colleague has a favorite color of blue, like, hey, blue is my favorite color. Like, hey, you learned something new today about someone else, all the way to, oh, I did not know that you could actually have closed captions on a YouTube video. Like, this makes life so much easier. I can actually change the play speed on a podcast player. So just learning small and big things like that, and those wonderful five questions of the whole preparation, action, and reflection will help you have a better day than before.
I love it. So I'm just going to the five questions, see if I've got it. So one, the PAR method is preparation, action, reflection. Preparation is what good can I do? Well, I'm getting it. I'm getting thumbs up from him. You guys can't see that. But what good can I do for me and what good can I do for others or vice versa? In the action, what must I do? And get the hard stuff done first. So it's because otherwise it kind of weighs on, at least it weighs on me. I like to get those things done. Mm-hmm. And then reflection, what good did I do today? And what did I learn today? And I think, you know, I think that's really good that just even those five questions, taking the time to be self-reflective is so underrated, but it's such a, it's like, there's a tiny rudder on a big rudder. It's called the trim tab. And it's like a teeny little thing that turns on a big boat. It turns the big rudder, so it turns the big boat. But it's kind of something like that. It's a small action and it's internal, but it can make a world of difference for how I feel, what I'm going to do tomorrow. And I do agree, we don't celebrate enough. There's like, we are going through, we are getting stuff done and making things happen all the time. And we just think, oh yeah, I have to do that. And we focus on what's not working and what I have to fix versus, wait a minute, look, I got up early. We actually did a presentation this morning for a leadership group, dug the car out of the snow, took the dogs for the walk, came back, dealt with technology issues, and we're doing the podcast. So woo, woo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh. I love it. He's dancing on the other side. You guys, folks can't see that either. Dom, this is great. Why don't you tell our listeners how they can find you, learn more about you, your podcast, all that sort of stuff before we wrap up?
Well, thanks a bunch for the amazing opportunity. This is a fabulous conversation. For those who want more of yours truly, Dom Brightman, head over to dombrightman.com, and all my social medias are the same. Dom Brightman, that's dombrightmon.com, and you'll find everything there, especially the Going North podcast. And hopefully one day I'll have Chris Marie and Susan, or one of them, on the podcast indeed.
Yes. Susan would have been here, but she's actually in that leadership group, and I didn't want to change you again, so we kept you here. And we'd love to be on your podcast for either our Beauty of Conflict for Teams, Beauty of Conflict for Couples, or her new book, which he was referring to, Crazy Cracked, Warm and Deep, which is her personal memoir. So, well, thank you, Dom. This is great. And you'll have access to the website on the show notes, folks. And if you have any questions, don't be shy. Reach out to us at thrive@thriving.com, T-H-R-I-V-E at T-H-R-I-V-E-I-N-C.com.
Thanks for joining us. We hope you found today's episode valuable. We know you're busy, and we want to make it easy for you to understand how conflict may be showing up in a way that's impacting your team negatively. We recorded the first three chapters of our book for you to listen to for free.
Get your free audio sample at thriveinc.com/free sample. That's thriveinc.com/FREESAMPLE.